All right. Well, for 5 months or so, we have been studying personal evangelism. And we've been trying to study and learn some things that where we might be better prepared to tell and to teach others the gospel. And so, to see if we learn anything, this is a test right here. No, I'm just kidding. Don't worry about it. It's not a test, but we are going to just do a review here for a while. For those who are visiting, this might not be the best class to be sitting in on. I kind of hate that because we're talking about what we've been going over for the last several months. And Ray, can we put those questions up? Are those close by where you can pop the questions up? And there's just some things. These aren't really questions I want us to consider, but just some points that I want us to think about here. We're lessons learned. Sometimes when you go through a series of studies, you need to just kind of back up and do some lessons learned. What did we gain out of this? Let's think about that some for a few moments. And you might make some comments about things that you have been reminded of. I mean, for the most part, what we have gone through in the last few months was not new news to most of us. Perhaps it's just some things that we need to be reminded of so we can be busy about the work that we need to be doing. Or you might want to make some comments, and dependent upon you making some comments as we go through this today, what points inspire you to be more active in personal evangelism? Referring to what points in the class? What are some things we've talked about? We may review something, and you might say, yeah, that's something there that I needed to hear. That's something I needed to be reminded of. That is something that is going to help me to be more active in personal evangelism. So, you know, this is what I'm hoping you're going to make some points on these things right here. You'd be thinking about that. But I want to begin with where we started in this class several months ago. Remember, we asked ourselves some questions. We were talking about our responsibility in teaching others. And I wonder if you would answer these questions any differently today than you might have 5 or 6 months ago whenever we started this. Are there people you are now thinking about trying to lead to Christ? Are there some people that you're thinking about you might have some influence with? Are they the same people you were thinking of 6 months ago? Have you done anything in 6 months to lead them to Christ? What am I really doing to win these people to Christ? Have you thought about that? What did I actively do today, yesterday, or the day before to teach these people? I'm not sure how you answered those questions 5 months ago. I'm hoping that you're answering the questions a little differently today. How many hours or minutes each week do I average talking to people about the Lord? Has that changed any? Do I pray for certain individuals to obey the Lord or to be restored to faithful duty? Do I pray that I might become a better soul winner? Have I prepared myself to teach one to become a Christian? Well, we've spent a lot of time on that. You know, just things that we might do, points that we need to have in mind, knowledge that we need to have readily available so we can tell and teach others. Do you feel better prepared today than 5 months ago? I mean, I'm sure hoping that we feel better prepared to do those things. But not only that we feel better prepared, but that we are actively doing something. You know, to accumulate some knowledge for personal use or personal gain can be beneficial, but only if we're going to use it, particularly with regard to telling or teaching others about the gospel. I mean, the whole idea of this exercise is that we can be better prepared and active in telling others about the gospel of Christ. Do I think about people I know who will appear before God unprepared, but I have yet to speak to them about Jesus? Ah, that one hurts. Are we thinking about those who need to know the Lord? And what are we doing? That's where we started a few months ago. We started some lessons then that just for the point or purpose to help us think about responsibility in personal evangelism. And the things that we need to be doing, that we have a responsibility to be an example to all. In a very simple way, what Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." that they need to see something in us that is different, see something in us that would encourage them to think about spiritual things, and then how we need to prepare ourselves to be able to talk to them and tell them and teach them about these things. We talk some about inspiration for teaching the lost. There's various things that might inspire us. We might think about our own spiritual needs and the fact that somebody taught us or led us to the Lord. That can be inspiring. We talk some about the fact that we have to have first a desire to know the gospel. We have to have that desire. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, Jesus said. And that we need to have that attitude and be looking for those who have that like attitude. There's our opportunities. And there are people like that. We talked a lot about the fact that we have to prepare ourselves, you know, to be able to give a defense when there are those who will ask us about the Lord. To be diligent to present ourselves approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We really spent a lot of time talking about those things. Have you been working to prepare yourself? Just some things to think about. And as we go through some of this, here's again, we're talking about lessons learned, and I am really hoping that someone says, wait a minute, I think I learned something there. You know, and tell us, is there something that you learned going through the course of this? Or something that you've been reminded of. You know, I knew this for a long time, but I really needed to hear this again. I'd be really glad if you've got some comments to make about that kind of a thing. Or, what points inspire you to become more active in personal evangelism? When we talk about something here that has made you focus on the need of personal evangelism and being involved in that, yeah, I'm kind of hoping that you'll speak up and make some points about that. We talk some about having a clear view on why we need to teach. Jesus, of course, being our example. So focused on the role and responsibility that he had. Jesus had no doubt and no question why he came to this earth. He came to seek and save that which was lost, he said. He said that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He knew that when he came. He was focused on the idea of telling and teaching as many as he could the hope of salvation and to give his life for that purpose. And so when you think about the focus that Jesus demonstrated, when it comes to the thought and the idea of personal evangelism, we have to be just as focused. And failure to be focused will mean that we are not involved in personal evangelism. Are you focused? Are you thinking about those things? I mean, again, the whole point of the 5 months of study here is to prepare ourselves to inspire ourselves, so to speak, to be involved in these things. And we have every reason to be inspired to teach. All right, let me ask you. Give me some ideas or thoughts as to why we should be inspired to teach. What comes to your mind? Why should we be inspired to teach? Les?
And people make what, you know, too many are convincing arguments for varying positions. And so there is an exclusive nature to what we are teaching, what we believe as Christians, that demands our focused attention.
It needs to be heard.
And if we really believe what we believe, and we really believe that people, our neighbors, our people we work with, are their sins are going to take them to hell if they do not accept Christ and His salvation and are washed, and have their sins washed away. If we really believe that, then that is the thing primarily, I think, that should motivate us to say we need to do something.
The bottom line here that you mentioned is sins. That this has to be really, isn't that our motivator for wanting to follow the Lord? Because we have this problem with sin. And there is a means of having our sins removed, and it's Jesus Christ. And that's the message.
And I think that's what Les is saying. If we really believe what we profess to believe, then it's just going to be part of our daily exercise.
Right.
We're dealing with people. We're going to see people as God would see them.
Isn't that what we see in Jesus? I mean, every opportunity. We looked at several examples that even seemed to be unlikely scenarios where Jesus would wind up talking with somebody and preaching to them. Basically what would happen. Dave? If we are concerned about our own souls and wanting to have a home in heaven, if we love our neighbors as ourselves, shouldn't we have that same concern for them? That's right. That's right. Other thoughts? Right, that's right. There's a common element or common denominator here of motivation. That's sin. And then when we look at what Jesus did and what He said with regard to the sins of man and how this can be changed, you know, this should be a motivator for us. We talked quite a bit about the compassion of Jesus. How does that fit into this thought? The compassion of Jesus, what has that got to do with anything? What would you say? What about the compassion of Jesus? What would you say? His compassion is who He is, and His compassion for mankind. And it seems as though that's what He was trying to rub off on His disciples. You know, was to have that same kind of compassion. We could talk about many different examples where the compassion of Jesus, in many ways, was demonstrated. It defined His character. And particularly with the view of finding or seeking the lost, the compassion of Jesus was just so very prominent. His focus in life, without question, He came to seek and save the lost. You know, his place in God's plan, evident. And He understood His place. His responsibility to save mankind, He understood. And we can make common analogies with each of those. Our focus, our place in God's plan, our responsibility. Yeah, we have some things there that we need to learn. Yes. Sure. That's right. And, I mean, you're right. Love, what a big word. And how much application can be made with that. Yeah, we want our children to go to heaven. We want our spouses to go to heaven. And it goes beyond that. You know, I mean, the love of Jesus was something that became so evident to us as we look through the story of Jesus and the compassion of Jesus. Yeah, His love was evident. Are there any points that you could think of or that you could make when you recall some of the things we studied about Jesus calling for followers? Remember some of the stories about Jesus calling for followers? Anything that just stands out to you in that? Yeah. It still amazes me that there were some that he turned to and he simply said, "Follow me," and they did. You know, and it seems like it's never that easy. And I know there's more to the story than just Jesus saying, "Follow me." They knew Jesus. They knew something here. But then what that led to with his apostles, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Okay, what's the point of that? What would you say to that? Add to that. Jesus, again, we're back to the idea that Jesus knew his point and purpose. And when he was calling for disciples, there was work to do, and he was going to set them to work. There was a clear view of that. Other thoughts? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, in every way it did.
They were fishing for fish.
Yeah.
Now they had a different.
Yeah, yeah. And just to think about the learning process that they went through. There's some points or analogies we might need to think about with that too, right? Yeah. Yeah. Different backgrounds, you know, each of them had. And yet still willing to follow Jesus. There's a point to be made there too. You know, who is going to follow Jesus, and how do we figure that? Well, we'll all follow Jesus. Will everyone follow Jesus? No. No. What's a lesson to be learned with that? I mean, can you think of a point or passage we talked about? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a cost. And you have to count that cost. Good thoughts. What else? There is a need of loving ourselves, and that sounds a little peculiar to us in some ways, but it's not in a selfish way. Love ourselves enough that we would do what's right. You know,
Yeah.
Sometimes the problem is truly they don't love themselves.
Don't have to feel like a failure all the time when we to teach the gospel, and it doesn't take it.
Right.
Because ultimately, it is, you can't drag people to heaven. You have to persuade them.
Did Jesus understand that?
Absolutely.
Passage that comes to my mind when you're talking about that. Remember in John chapter 6, Jesus had some hard things to say to his disciples. What happened? Yeah, there were many who walked away. What did he say to those who were closest to him? Yeah, do you also want to leave? Remember? I mean, here we're talking about the master teacher. He didn't convert everyone. And he said to his disciples, do you want to leave? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. Peter got that part right. You know, he understood that. And there will be those today that understand that. The words of life come from the Lord. Neil? That's right. We keep sowing. It's about sowing the seed. Yeah. Yeah. Some will sow the seed, some will water. The Lord gives the increase. And we just need to understand our place in that. You're right. Yeah. Good thoughts. Right.
Some of them were despised by others, tax collectors.
Yeah.
He didn't pick the learned men in his day to be his disciples to go out and spread the gospel. He picked the common people. So we should never think, well, I can't do that. We can't do that. And we don't have to have a doctor's degree or have to have gone to some school of divinity or whatever. Because those men were just fishing. One day they were fishing.
Yeah, no more than we can choose who will or who will not accept the gospel. You know, we can't really read the heart of men. I mean, after we see their actions, we might have some inclination of their heart. The Lord knows the heart of men. You know, but we don't know who to offer the gospel to or not. It's just our responsibility to sow the seed. I mean, the power is in the Word. And we've talked about this some too. I mean, it's not about us. You know, and part of what Neil's talking about here, we just need to understand our place and our role. The power is not in us. The power is in the Word. The Word has the power to convict the soul. We just have to be sure we're spreading that.
Well, something you said a number of times that I thought was very important was that there's going to be one or two responses to the gospel.
Always. That's right. No matter where you're at, no matter how you present it, there will be some who will listen and obey. There will be some who listen and then walk away. There's always one of two responses, those who believe and those who do not. There's nothing else. One of the two. And we see that with Jesus. You know, when the disciples, you know, when he said hard things to the disciples, there were many who left and walked away. I get the impression it's just the 12 that are left with him. When Jesus says, do you want to leave now too? I don't know how many walked away. We talked, I think, last week when we were kind of summing, you know, finishing some things up. You know, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized. That's amazing. 3,000 were baptized. How many walked away? There were thousands. There were tens of thousands in Jerusalem on Pentecost. 3,000 were baptized. That's amazing. But there were tens of thousands who walked away. We can only sow the seed. That's our responsibility. We talk some. Yeah, go ahead. Another thought? No? Yeah. Yeah. That's true, too. That's right. That's right, too. That's right. When those who think about it a while, you know, the Apostle Paul maybe being one like that. We talked a fair amount about the character of the sower. That would be us. in this example, the character of the sower. What are the qualities of a good sower? What comes to mind? You think of anything we talked about, the qualities of a good sower. Humility, yeah. Yeah, the idea of remember where you came from. I heard that from time to time growing up. I think it was something I had to be reminded of a lot more than you ever would realize. Remember where you came from. Remember who you are. You know, and sometimes as Christians, I think we have to be reminded of that too. I mean, sometimes we don't need somebody else to set us on a pedestal. We've done that to ourselves sometimes. Think a little better of ourselves than what we should. Might even have something to do with those to whom we would go or not go, you know, to spread the word. And Jesus, the Son of God, the humility that is seen in Jesus, the Son of God, is just amazing to me. And we need to think about that and make that part of our attitude. What else goes along with that? What else would you say? Compassion. The compassion of Jesus, you know, is just amazing. And sometimes I need to be reminded of that when we look at those who are in such desperate need of the gospel and we prejudge, perhaps, thinking that, well, there's nothing I can do there, I can't help them, or they're not interested. The compassion of Jesus caused him to look out over the multitude. We see read of this a number of times. And he looks over the multitude with compassion. He loves them because he sees and understands their needs. And he's not talking at all about their physical needs. You know, he's talking about their spiritual needs. Humility, compassion, love. The love that we need to have for others who are lost. What should that cause us to do? I mean, if we are humble in that regard and we have compassion on the lost, we love those who are lost, we love the truth, what is that going to cause us to do? Yeah, we're going to do something with that. It's going to inspire us to be the zealous worker that we need to be. That preacher of righteousness. Right. That's right. There are some righteous souls throughout the history of time that we can read about that become inspirations to us, you know, as far as their desire to serve the Lord and to be examples to others and to teach others. At times when it seems as though there was just no hope at all, it's easy to give up. Elijah gave up for a while. You remember that? You know, he thought he was the only one left, went and hid under a bush, wanted the Lord just to let him die. You know, yeah, the Lord re-inspired him, we'll say. And he got back to work. And sometimes we need to be re-inspired to get back to work. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Ah. It does. Perhaps one of the greatest difficulties we have in being active in teaching others is our time. I mean, that's, I mean, what's followed right close after that is having the knowledge to do it, which again requires time for us to prepare ourselves to be able to go and to do it. Time. And in our day now, I mean, time is everything because we are so full. We have so much to do, we think. And we don't have any time, any hours left to do what we need to be doing most of. Pretty significant. I know so many Christians who struggle to just do some study on their own or prepare for a Bible class. We struggle with that now, don't we? And if we struggle with that, how do we think we are ever going to go to our neighbor and say, "Could I have an hour of your time?" That's pretty sobering thoughts right there. We talked a bit about the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. We're looking at the example that Jesus left for us as far as ability to teach and what we should do. What are some things that come to your mind? You think about the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. What are some lessons learned from there? What comes to your mind? Yep. That's the first thing I think about with that. An unlikely candidate. Who would have thought that this Samaritan woman would have anything spiritual on her mind or talk about things spiritual? An unlikely candidate. What else comes to mind? What other points from that lesson? Went back to town.
She was ready to go.
She was telling everyone.
Right. She didn't have to go through a personal evangelism
class. Yeah. That's right. She couldn't wait to tell everyone else. Yeah. And as the text completes there in that chapter, it says, "And many more believed because of the words of the woman." Isn't that something? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. There were certain issues that she had in her life, and yet Jesus talked with her. And look what it went to. The ability to find common ground, we spoke about this. Finding common ground with someone, a starting point. Jesus demonstrated that so incredibly with a Samaritan woman. I mean, the common ground at this point was water, just water in a well. They were both looking for the same thing. And from there developed a spiritual lesson where Jesus wound up talking about a fountain of everlasting life. And amazing, the ability to find that common ground. We've talked a lot about the need of trying to find common ground when we talk with someone. You need a good starting point and develop from there. Other thoughts on that? Let's talk a little bit more briefly about the attitude of the teacher. And we've talked about some of the characteristics that we should have. Let's turn it to the other side, and let's be reminded of some characteristics that we should not have. If we are to be an effective teacher, what can we not do? Yeah, I can't be a know-it-all, you know. And sometimes, even when some things are being said that's just not exactly right, you can't deal with every issue. You can't. You have to kind of pick and choose your battles. Because if you have something to say to every point that someone makes that's wrong, you know, pretty soon you're going to be the know-it-all. Yeah, that's not going to work well. What else? What are some characteristics we cannot have? Pardon me? Intolerance. Yeah. I mean, we cannot be tolerant to sin. The Lord can't be tolerant to sin. But sometimes if we just come across with an attitude that is not just the know-it-all, but lack of patience in the things that are said sometime or with the other person, that's not going to work very well. Okay. Self-righteousness. Why does that not work? That's right. Because we are not as righteous as we think. You know, and people can see through that. You know, we have to be careful with that. What else would you say?
Mm-hmm. Whether you're the president, mm-hmm. whether you're, you know, working in a lovely job, it doesn't matter. We're mm-hmm. people. We're just flesh and blood.
If the Lord is on our side.
The Lord is on our side, that's right. But we've got to overcome this fear
mm-hmm.
of talking to people about the most important mm-hmm. thing in life. And if we can't overcome that fear of talking, communicating with people, then we're never
if we are passionate enough about the Word of God and His will, then that should just come out of us. We understand the idea of being passionate. You know, I get on Facebook from time to time, and this is not my favorite time of year to be on Facebook because, like, every post on there is about football. I guess there's been some football games this weekend. I don't know. I'm not into football, okay? But, I mean, people are passionate about all these ball games. Passionate. And almost all of the friends I would have on Facebook are Christians, okay? And they are passionate about these ball games that have taken place in the last day or two. Well, okay, we can be passionate about a lot of things, but what I just cannot understand, we can be so passionate about a football game or whatever it is that is our recreation and know everything about it and want to tell everyone all that we know about it. But we can't tell our neighbors about the Lord. I am not understanding that, brethren. I'm just not understanding that. I mean, I'm just not getting the impression at all that the Lord cares at all who wins the SEC conference or whatever it is. I mean, I'm just not seeing it. I mean, I was scrolling through that thing on my phone, you know, laying in bed last night, trying to get sleepy, looking at that, and it's like I'm just zipping through it. Football, 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 football. Everybody's talking about football games, you know. Go War Eagle, you know, or whatever. And, okay. If we can have that kind of passion about the gospel, we're going to convert some people. Back to where we began. We've got to have a focus. Jesus came to this earth with a focus on why He was here and what He was doing. And when He said to those who would be His disciples, "Follow Me, count the cost," the whole idea is for us to be focused as He was. And we have to be. And if we want to be an effective soul winner, we're going to have that focus. We're going to have that drive. We're going to have that enthusiasm. We're going to have that compassion. We're going to have that love for truth and love for the lost. And if we don't, we'll have no success because we won't do anything. And that's the bucket most of us fall into. We don't do anything. I mean, churches of our Lord across this country are dwindling in size almost no matter where you go. And we can't figure it out. And nobody is teaching. Nobody is talking to his neighbor. Nobody's talking to his co-workers. And we can't understand why the church is not growing. It's not that hard to figure out. I mean, we have looked through several chapters through the book of Acts at times, And we see the phenomenal growth of the Lord's church in the first century. And it does not take a lot of work to understand. It's because people were talking about the Lord. And it wasn't just the apostles now. We've seen that. I mean, the disciples. They were busy and they were active. Even when they were scattered, perhaps because they were scattered because of persecution, went everywhere preaching the word. We have that responsibility. We need to get busy about our work. Lord willing, Wednesday night, we're continuing the same thoughts here for a little while, and we're going to move into another lesson on personal evangelism that I'm hoping will be really helpful for us to get busy about the work. Thank you for your comments. All who can, let's move up some. We got some empty pews up here. Let's fill them up.